Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And a beautiful Shabbat it is. I love it when we are at the very center of the Amidah, the Kiddushah, you know, and where the ark is open and we're praying and people are praying out loud. Don't you love that moment in the service? I think it's one of my all-time favorites. And someone said, "Abba, thank you for such a beautiful day." And I thought, yeah, it is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Just look at it. It's a beautiful day. But it's a beautiful day for a lot of bigger reasons as well. And I'd like to talk about a beautiful day and why today is a happy day and why happy endings are so terrific. So it's just joyful things to talk about today on this Shabbat. First of all, let's think about a very happy ending to 9 months of pregnancy. Little Shoshana was born. Grandma's here somewhere. I don't know where Grandma is. But, you know, if it wasn't for Grandma, there'd be no Shoshana. You know, you understand all that kind of thing. So this is a happy thing. And as Dave mentioned, and as I read in our Torah portion, one of the several themes is that of the joy of a happy ending. And so you have elderly Sarah, who had to spend her whole life watching younger women have children and always wistfully thinking, how come not me? If God loves me so much, how come not me? You know, all the thoughts that people naturally have under that kind of circumstance. And here we have her as a relatively old woman. And she's old. She's quite elderly. So there's a miraculous element here. It's more than providential, it seems. It seems miraculous. And she has a little baby, little Yitzchak, and she laughs. And it's a very, very happy moment. Happy endings. I'd like to talk about happy endings around here, too. Happy things and happy endings. You know, we're finishing the fiscal year at Ruach, and tonight, of course, is our annual congregational meeting. And if you remember the synagogue, it's very important that you're there. We really don't ask a lot of you in terms of all kinds of extra meetings and things that to discuss these affairs, but once a year, we show our commitment to the community by gathering together. And I'll tell you a happy thing. This, in my 35 years of being here, we have never done so well financially as we are now. You know, it's amazing. We're going to conclude this year really well beyond our budget. I don't want to get into specifics on Shabbat, but nonetheless, this is a very happy thing. This is a happy thing and something to rejoice about. And so I thought I would continue this theme of not only happy endings, but happy beginnings, and where we're going as a synagogue. I won't have opportunity to share some of this tonight because we don't want a real long meeting. So I thought that during the sermon today, I would share with you some of the new births among us in a metaphorical sense. Some of the things that are really happy and which are new beginnings, new births, which we trust are going to be wonderful for all of us and hopefully for the city of Boston as well. So just a few things, and let me just discuss a few of these with you. First of all, did you know that there is a new initiative in the congregation called City Ruach? Are you familiar with this at all? Some of you are, but not enough of you. City Ruach. So Shlomi and a number of the younger people, Rabbi Nathan is leading the charge. I know Shana is very significantly involved. A number of you are. And the idea ultimately will be to have a place to live downtown Boston where 20-somethings can live and share life together in Messianic Jewish space and be a source of encouragement and outreach to the city of Boston, particularly to younger Jewish people in Boston. We'll talk more about it tonight a little bit, but this is a very happy thing. The world is changing, and the demographics are changing, and the way the nature of the Jewish community is changing, and that includes us thinking about how to really connect with people, maybe in new ways that are a little different than what we've done before in the way synagogues have been constructed. So Saturday morning services will always be our point of connection. We want to encourage you all to be as faithful as you possibly can, because if we're not together, then the sense of community just gets lost and it's not good. But there'll be other initiatives, for example, City Boston, something we're very exciting about. And again, we'll begin talking about it in the days ahead. I want to talk with you about more new beginnings. Tonight at the meeting, we're going to be suggesting to set aside some money for a new relationship with a sister congregation in Israel. And this is a good thing. There is a new, relatively new congregation, and it's led by, had been led by Jamie Cowan. Now it's going to be led more by people associated with MJTI, specifically Verit Hillel and her very capable husband, Michael. The idea here is that rather than us just focus on the diaspora, let's have a concrete way to be connected with Eretz Yisrael, and particularly the emerging Messianic Jewish community there. And so we'll talk about that. But it's a new thing, and it's a happy thing. And so I did want to mention that to you. Let's mention some other things. There is a young man named Nathan Morell. Did you meet Nathan when he was here? He's in his early 20s. Again, another musician. We have more piano players per square inch in this congregation than any Messianic Jewish synagogue anywhere. I mean, it's just amazing how many we have. So he is a piano major in college, and he is going to, God willing, and with the permission of the congregation, need to set aside a few bucks, he is going to become an intern to serve here at Ruach Israel. He'll help with City Ruach, he'll help with music, he'll help with lots of things, and he'll be going to MJTI, the Messianic Jewish Theological Institute, so that he can become a rabbi, either here as another assistant type rabbi, as we've had, or perhaps in his own congregation. That's too far in advance to be able to talk about with any kind of clarity, but Ruach has always been a place of training for other people. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We always have. So I remember when Rabbi Nathan came. He just had become a follower of Yeshua. He had a long ponytail, and he's with his girlfriend, Raina. Right? You remember this? About 10 years ago, they walk in at Rosh Hashanah time, and he didn't know anything, and he was like, and she wasn't even quite yet a follower of Yeshua. Think about them now, 10 years later. Isn't that a beautiful thing? This fine young leader, this mensch. I was listening to him teach the Jonah study after Yom Kippur. You remember? It was fantastic. And I'm feeling and I'm thinking, wow, what this synagogue does in raising up younger people to take their place in the Messianic Jewish world and oftentimes right among us. You know, we think of Rabbi Ben, too, who's not as with us as much right now. People change. They have their own, you know, it's just the way things are in life. But he is our buddy, our friend, and our guy. And Rabbi Ben also, a brand new Messianic Jew, and then comes in 10 years later, this strong man who is going to make a difference in the Messianic Jewish world. So, we talk about new things. City Ruach, let's talk about something else that's new, that I find to be a very happy thing, not an ending, but a kind of birth. If you were here at services last Saturday, you'll recall that we had four people fulfilling the cantor's role. You remember that? Four people came up. I did a little bit, but now we're democratizing the whole service leading, which includes the cantorial role. And so, Shana, where's Shana? Shana here? Teaching. Where is she? Downstairs. Oh, she's downstairs teaching. So Shana, Jewish woman, Shana Kaufman, she's helping out. Shlomi is helping out. Evan LaBelle is going to help out. I'll help out a little bit. Rabbi Nathan will help out a little bit too. But the idea is to spread it out. Because in the Jewish worldview, you don't have to be ordained or a professional to lead services. Any Jew can lead services. And I hope that more and more of those of you who are qualified to do so can step into that role. This is a very, very happy thing. And it is a kind of new birth and a new beginning. We are going to be working more and more on our music program here at Ruach Israel. And Kyle and Rachel have agreed to take some leadership in that role under our senior cantor, Phil. And so I think we're going to see a rise in the quality. We have good quality music, but there's more that needs to be done. There's going to be new slides, things that are more accessible and easier. Then more new beginnings, in a sense. We have three young Jewish people who are preparing for Bar and Bat Mitzvah. Who are they? They were Ben Edelman. What a terrific kid. Simone is going to be first. Next August, we have Ben. And we have Sammy Shatnuf, who's here today. And I think Mom is here today, too. Right? So, you know, these are new and happy things. And I'm particularly grateful because Dave Nickel is really taking the leadership in the training of our bar and bar mitzvah kids, meaning he's orchestrating the program with help from me, help from Sue, help from Stacy, but Dave is really taking a leadership role. And I want to tell you, from a dad's point of view, let me just put it in two words. No, forget. Three words. Forget about it. From a dad's point of view, do I have to explain? And when Joel lifts the Torah, and I mean, let me just say this parenthetically. I feel like the most blessed guy in America. I really do. Because of you, but, you know, Susie and wonderful children and little grandchildren go around the forget about it. That's the only word I have for the whole thing here. Okay, I think that is all I need to talk about. So let me just move to why we do all this. Why we do all this. Why do we have a Messianic Jewish congregation? And why do we have the kind of Messianic Jewish synagogue that we do, with a high priority on Hebrew learning and liturgy that's not so accessible to the average person? I mean, why do it? Why try and build something that has a certain resonance with the Jewish past? Why do we do what we do? And I'd like to conclude by telling you why. And the most important reason that we do it is that we have a magnificent Abba who deserves our love and adoration as Jews. We have a magnificent people that He has created. And we all know, you don't have to be a genius to know this, that a lot of Jewish people nowadays could care less. Isn't that true? It is a sad reality. And that's because of the force of the dominant secular culture is so pervasive with TV and internet and everything and the rhythms of life and the demands of making a living and the fact that Shabbat is just another day, you know, to go play soccer. All of these pressures are really great. But we understand that this magnificent Abba who loves Israel, who keeps His promises, who promises to make everything right in this world, is going to do so through a magnificent people that He has created, and that, by no special goodness of our own, is us. And by the way, we have a number of Christians here too. By extension, this includes you, as kind of a greater Israel, if you will. Not to be confused with the Jewish people, and that's a big mistake, but nonetheless, to be part of this larger community of Abraham that loves the Lord God of Israel within the cultural framework that's familiar and good and appropriate as for you. And that's beautiful. We have a great, wonderful, fantastic God. We have a great people that He, for reasons known to Himself, chose to manifest His goodness to the whole world through us. And so why do we do what we do? Why do we knock ourselves out? Why do we give a tenth of our income? Why do we work hard? Why do we learn Hebrew? Why do we gather on Saturday morning when you could be sleeping in after a long week? We do it because God is wonderful and He's created a wonderful people that deserve to be sustained. And last, we do it because we have a wonderful Messiah. We have a Messiah who, like Joseph of old, yearns to be revealed to His people. Right now, His brothers and sisters don't know Him for the most part. But don't you feel privileged this morning? You know Him. Is that the best or is that the best?
Yes.
It is the best. It is the absolute best that the God of the universe would actually send a piece of Himself among us to teach us Torah, not just by reading it, but by living it and showing us what it means to speak truth to power and what it means to love people by healing them and what it means to teach them in a way that they can understand with parables and teachings that are accessible and meaningful, and what it means to reach out to women who are marginalized part of society and to people who are lepers who are marginalized and to love them and embrace them and bring them in. We have a wonderful Messiah. We have a wonderful people. We have a wonderful Abba. So, tonight, as we all gather to do the important work, or the members of us, I should say, gather among us to do the important work of the congregation, let us be very glad that we have what we have. And I want to challenge us all to help this congregation become all it can be, so that more and more of our people will take a second look at Yeshua. And so instead of assimilating among the churches and among the nations, would become proud and excited about living within the framework of an ongoing Jewish story. And one day, everything is going to be made right. In the meantime, we choose to be part of that program because, again, He is fantastic. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.